Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. So, in other words, what bread is to the physical body, the word of God is to our spirit. So the word is spirit food. You know, we know what natural food is. And most of us don't have a problem taking care of that. Amen. But, you know, do you ever stop think about it? When you eat natural food, do you have to even think about what it's going to do to nourish you? Your job is just to eat it, and the body knows what to do with it. Your body, and that's the way faith is. When you hear the word of God, it goes right down inside your spirit. Faith is right there. Well, when you eat food, there's nourishment that's already instantly starts to work inside your body. Amen? And so today, that's exactly what's going to happen here. Praise God. Father, we thank you so much for the word of the Lord. And Father, we approach it reverently and humbly today. Lord, we open our hearts, we open our minds. We're asking the Holy Spirit to give us fresh wisdom and direction from heaven today. And Lord, we give you all the glory. We look to you, Father, for utterance, for the right words, the right thoughts. And Lord, today we're coming up to another level, praise God. We're not satisfied where we're at. We're thankful, but we're coming up today, Lord. There's more in Christ that we have for us today. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, for several weeks now, this will be number 6. We've been talking about the subject of breaking barriers, okay? I could probably go several more weeks, but I'm not going to do that, praise God. But I wanted to just give you some highlights of some things I believe that, things that work. I believe the Word of God works, amen? Amen. And we talked about how that started out about what is a barrier and these kind of things, you know. And we talked about the process of breaking barriers. We're going to finish that today. And we talked about, number one, that you have to be willing to break barriers in your life to go above and beyond where you were. Amen. See, that's what makes life interesting. You know, we're basically, all of us are creatures of habit, aren't we? Amen. We like to do things a certain way, you know, and we like to drive away a certain way. We like to do certain things a certain way. But, you know, every once in a while, it's good to shake that up. It's just good to shake it up and say, wait a minute, what am I doing this thing for here? Why am I doing this? You know, because we can get so much in a routine, in a ritual sometimes that we forget the reason why we're even doing something. But sometimes it's important for us to go and shake ourselves up and step out of our comfort zone. That's the point that we talked about. Be willing to go beyond your comfort zone. We talked about that the last couple of weeks, that if you're going to break some barriers in your life, you have to be willing to do things that you've never done before. Now, I'm not talking about crazy, unbiblical things, but I'm talking about things, stepping out and doing things. You know, increase your prayer time and increase your word time, as Sister Lynn was talking about, you know. And by doing that, you're going to receive different results. Hallelujah. Now, so we talked for the last couple weeks about willing to go beyond your comfort zone. And number two today, we're talking about the process of breaking barriers. I want to just touch on this. And number two is this, is follow wise people. Now, if you go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, Proverbs 13 and verse 20. How many of you know all of us could get smarter than we are?
Amen.
And boy, let me tell you something. You know, we always talk about Solomon being the dude that had the wisdom, man. I'm telling you, Jesus said there was nobody wiser than Solomon. But then he went on to say, greater than he is here. So in other words, Jesus said, I'm smarter. In essence, he was saying, I'm smarter than Solomon. Because the wisdom that Solomon had came from God. Okay? It originated from God. He didn't have it until God gave it to him. But notice in Proverbs 13:20, we're going to look at two different translations. King James says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So he's basically saying, if you want to be wise, hang out with wise people. Now look at the Message translation up here. The Message translation says this. And it says this, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall into pieces. Isn't that something? Let me read that again. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall into pieces. And so if we're going to think about breaking barriers in our lives, it's important who we hang out with. And I'm not talking about who you minister to. That's different. Okay? Because we're going to reach down to help people that are down and out. Amen? But I'm talking about your close associations, who you spend a lot of time with. If as human beings, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, who you hang out with really determines your future. Someone said, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Okay? Because people are either taking you up or they're taking you down. Stop and think about that. There are people that are either going to take you up or they're going to take you down. Now, here's what I found out. I thought, well, when I heard that years ago, I thought, and it had to be the Lord to show me this, because he said, Keith, you don't have to know somebody personally to glean from their wisdom. And boy, that just set me free, because I'm looking around, you know, and I'm thinking, there's some smart people around that are, you know, that, well, I'm talking about the wisdom of God, you know. And through the Lord's provision through the year, the Lord has provided different people in our lives, ministers and stuff that we consider very wise. Jim is one of those. He's a very wise person, you know. But yet you don't have to know somebody personally to glean from their wisdom. You can listen to their tapes, their CDs, whatever. You can read their books and you can glean wisdom from them and be a partaker of their wisdom. That's why we have our Bibles. Amen?
Amen.
We don't know James personally. We didn't know Peter personally. Amen. And all these different people that were inspired to write the Bible, we didn't know them personally. But we can fellowship with their letters, and their wisdom will affect the way that we live today. How many of you can say that, you know, the Bible has affected your lifestyle today?
Amen.
Well, guess what? You didn't know them personally. Okay, now you know Jesus personally.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But I'm talking about the apostles and different people that wrote the Bible, you know, and they wrote it for our sake. They were inspired by God to write these things. And the scripture says that if you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If I wrote down here, and I'm just going to spend a couple of seconds on this, but if you hang out with critical, negative people, it will affect you. Okay? And I've known, I don't know if about you, but I've known Christians through the years. Nobody in this church, okay, so don't think that you're one of them. But I'm saying through the years, you know, that Christians that don't think according to the Word of God, they think negative, okay? I've been around, I remember the first time when I was 19 years old and I answered the call of God upon my life. Make a real long story short, I was in this church, in this mainline. You know, it was a Holy Ghost baptized church and everything, you know. And one of the deacons in that church was deacon possessed. Okay? And he was probably 45 years older than I was. Okay? He's probably in heaven now, I think. But he came up to me, you know, and I didn't know him very well other than just saying, hi, how you doing? But he found out that I had answered the call to the ministry, you know, and he came up to me. He said, son, come here, let me talk to you. And I'm 19 years old, all right? And he comes up, puts his arm around me in the church, you know, after the service was over, and he began to talk to me about the hardships of ministry and how it's a hard life. And I'm there. You talk about a wet blanket, not blanket, blankets. You know, and I mean one layer after another, I started feeling real depressed when he was talking to me. I'm like, wow. I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, dear Lord, you know, because everything he said about the ministry was negative. Everything. And so I kind of walked away from that, kind of feeling kind of yuck, you know what I mean? And here I am 19, and this time he's probably in his 60s, something like that. Okay? He's been a deacon in that church for hundreds of years. You know. And I'm thinking, all right, this guy's been around a long time. He's on the deacon board of this church, and he's telling me this, you know. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to talk to me. He says, Keith, don't listen to a word he said. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I was always taught to listen to your elders, but listen, when they're speaking from the devil, don't listen to them.
That's good.
Okay? You know, you can show respect towards people and still not listen to them. Amen? See, I'm not under obligation to listen to someone Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have hardships in life. Of course, that goes with the territory. I mean, just being alive on this earth, you're going to have hardships, right? Yeah. Jesus said that, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But yet, on the other hand, I had other people that encouraged me. I remember this one lady, Carol, matter of fact, and she was basically the same age, and she pulled me aside, and she started encouraging me, and I was like, man, I just felt like I could do anything after that, you know? And it was wise counsel. And so it was interesting, the contrast between the two. Now, what's really interesting and really kind of humorous now is that when I started our first church in 1986, we were meeting in the Bethel Park Women's Club, you know? And after a couple of months, you know, and we only had like 6-7 people in our church at the time. You know, this is the first church that we started. We were just brand new at doing this. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call, and this guy says, hey, can I come to your church? You know, the guy that talked me out of the ministry. Well, what are you going to say? Well, he did. He showed up. And I could kind of see he was kind of shaking his head like, wow, he really did it, you know. And we're new at this. There's only a few people in the church, for Pete's sake, you know. But I thought, boy, I'm so glad I didn't listen to him, because if I hadn't listened to him, then I wouldn't be. Now, he came for a few months and they did something else. But they received the word of God when they came. Praise God. Amen. But see, who you hang out with is very critical. It's very important who you hang out with and who you listen to, because someone's either going to be taking you up or they're going to be taking you down. Okay, there's no question about it. And I want to be a contributor to people's dreams and their faith. I'm talking about God-given dreams, okay? We're not talking about too much pizza last night or something like that. But I'm talking about a God-given dream that God's placed on the inside of your heart that almost seems impossible at times. I want to be a contributor to help you and fuel the dream and the vision that God has placed inside your heart. All of you that are here right now, okay? Now, maybe you're discouraged about your dream and it seems like it's taken forever to come to pass. Well, Joseph had a dream from the Lord. You know the story. And the enemy tried everything he could to squelch that dream, to use people, false accusations, and everything you can think of to put him in a position where he would throw away and chuck away the dream and say, you know, maybe that wasn't the Lord. You know what I'm saying? That happened to John the Baptist. How many of you know that? John the Baptist saw that he experienced the Trinity in one setting. When he baptized Jesus, there's Jesus. He saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove upon him. That's the Holy Ghost. Then he heard the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So here in one setting, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All in one setting. Now, if any of us had been in that situation, you would have thought, you would never have another doubt again. Say, I was there. I experienced that. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in one setting. But yet pressure was applied to him. He was thrown in jail, and he sent some of his disciples back to Jesus and said, tell us, are you the Messiah or do we look for another? Now, wait a minute. He was just there, not prior to that, just not that long before that. And he saw he experienced the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But see, when pressure is applied, it can make us doubt previous experiences and encounters with God. Well, Jesus sent back messengers to John. He says, blessed is he that is not offended in me. And he said, you tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. And blessed is he that is not offended in me. So you can't build your life on experiences. You can learn from those things. But we need to have a fresh walk with God every day. Because the devil will see to it. He's going to try to bring doubt and unbelief our way, even if you've experienced a miracle two or three behind you. Amen? So this point right here is follow after wise people. Listen to the Word of God. Glean from them. Get books. Get materials. Whatever that you have to get to glean some wisdom from other people. Amen? How many of you know you don't have to reinvent the wheel in every area of life? We can learn so much from other people. When I was going to Bible school, Brother Hagin, he said, guys, it took me 50 years to learn some of this stuff. He said, it should only take you a couple of months to learn some of this stuff. He goes, why should you go through the same heartache and things that I went through when you can pick it up just like that? So you learn a whole lot quicker. Experience isn't always the best teacher. How many of you know that? I would rather learn from someone else's experience and say, okay, I see that. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And you can save a whole lot of time, heartache, money, everything else. Amen. Yeah. Just listening to the Lord. Okay. So, number one, to break barriers is be willing to go beyond your comfort. So, number two, follow after wise people. All right? Follow after people that are encountering fulfillment in their vision and what they've been called to do. Amen? Because when you hang out with them and you start fellowshipping with them and talking with them, let me tell you something, that same spirit will come on you and it'll cause you to walk in that thing as well. All right, number three here in the process is stay in the love of God. Stay in the love of God. Everybody say, stay in the love of God. Now, if you're going to break some barriers, you have to realize that there are certain boundaries. Okay? There are certain boundaries, and boundaries are important. How many of you know that? And we have to have boundaries in our life to keep ourselves in the love of God, because if the devil can get us out of love, then he has us in his territory. Okay? Now, all of us here have had opportunities. Every one of us in this room, we had opportunities, maybe even recently. Something happened in your life that you had to say, I choose to forgive that person. Amen? Amen. Wasn't that long ago somebody did something and I said, Lord, I choose to forgive them in Jesus' name. Amen? It helps us to do that instead of harboring ill will, ill feeling towards someone that has wronged us. And it keeps us in a position whereby the blessing can keep coming our way. Now, you stop and think about this. I was thinking about this morning, and the Lord reminded me of this. When Saul of Tarsus had his group of people, and they were in the process of persecuting the church, and here you got Stephen in the book of Acts. Remember that? And there, you know, Stephen didn't do anything wrong. But Saul was just, he was on a feeding frenzy as far as persecuting the church and persecuting, thinking he was doing God service. Right? And you know the story, Stephen was there and they picked up stones. You know, there's no shortage of stones in Jerusalem. I know that. You don't have to go very far to find stones. And what did Stephen do? He knelt down as they were stoning him. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, Jesus said that on the cross, didn't he? Someone says, well, that's Jesus. You know, well, he could do that. Well, Stephen was a man. And he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing, not sitting, standing on the right hand of the Father God. He looked up in the Spirit. He saw that. God opened his eyes and he saw that. Well, what did Stephen do? He released forgiveness towards Saul of Tarsus, towards the other people there that were in his company there that actually threw the stones at him, took his life. Now, I don't even know that's divine love. That's not normal love. That's supernatural love right there. Well, guess what happened? The Lord went after Saul of Tarsus because now he's on his next journey. He's going to Damascus, I think it was, on the road to Damascus. For what reason? To go to Burger King? No. He's going on the road to Damascus. He's got letters from the governor endorsing what he's doing, backing him up, that if he found any in the way, Christian way, he was going to torment them, drag them out of their house, beat them, throw them in jail, you know. He's thinking he's doing God service. He even said that. And as he's on the way to road to Damascus, he came in contact with Jesus of Nazareth, had a blinding light experience, fell off his horse. You know the story. And he changed his name from Saul to Paul, praise God, and he became the Apostle Paul as we know it, that wrote more than half the New Testament. Well, what's interesting about that situation is, how did that all start? It started with Stephen releasing forgiveness towards his enemies. And when Stephen released forgiveness out of him towards Saul and his company, then the Lord had permission to go after him. Not to kill him, but to get him saved.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen.
And now Stephen and Paul are best friends.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Think about that.
Yeah.
But Stephen released what? Forgiveness. Now you, let's just face it. It's one thing if people talk about you. It's another thing if they're hailing stones at you to take your life. There's a little bit of a difference there. None of us like it when someone talks about us. I mean, that's just human nature. None of us like that, you know. But it's another thing entirely when they're picking up big stones. Ouch. And they're throwing them at you, taking your life. But what happened is when he released forgiveness, then the Holy Ghost could go after him, and he became the great Apostle Paul as we know it today. But you know, when you back it upstream, you look, where did this all start? It started, I'm telling you, it started with him releasing forgiveness towards his enemies. He blessed his enemies. And so what happened? God went after him. He got converted. He became the great Apostle Paul that we're reading letters from every week in church. Isn't that marvelous? And so this third thing here is stay in the love of God. If we're going to break barriers in our lives, we have to be aware of Satan's tactics. The Bible says that we're lest Satan, 2 Corinthians 2:11, I think it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant concerning his devices. Okay? Listen, we don't always have to be understood by everybody. I don't know about you, but I like to be understood by people. But you know what? Sometimes not everybody's going to understand me. And not everybody's going to understand you all the time. So we don't always have to fight for the right to be understood all the time. That's okay. We can live with that. Amen? You husbands and wives know what I'm talking about. Okay? There's times you don't see eye to eye on everything. That's okay. You can disagree without being disagreeable. There's a big difference, isn't there? But it's so important, folks, that we guard the love of God. The other night, you know, I went with my son, and we went into a store to pick up some things. And it was a convenience store, actually, that Josh buys a certain product from there. And I went with him, you know, and we walked in there. And this guy that was working behind the counter had an attitude. You know what I mean? I mean, an attitude. And he looked at it. He knew why we were coming because we saw him the week before. And he's like, and he looked at us kind of like, I wish you were not here. Isn't that right, Josh? And there was part of my flesh part of my flesh wanted to rise up and rebuke this guy. I'm telling you, sharply. And my flesh wanted to say, dude, you ought to be blessed that you even have a job right now. You start treating people like this, you know, you're not going to have anybody coming here. I wanted to say that. But that was my flesh talking. My flesh was talking. And it had a loud voice. Right, Josh? My flesh, and I know he felt the same way. I thought, who is this dude? I mean, we're buying their products in this store. I mean, a good amount, actually. You know. You say, well, what? Raw milk. Okay, let's just see if you're wondering what it is. It's not chewing tobacco. It's raw milk, okay, for health benefits. Okay, so this store happens to sell that, all right? So he goes back there, and he's cussing. He's swearing, using the F-bomb and everything else, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I felt so justified to tear into this guy. But you know what happened? I had an encounter with the love of Christ. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. One other translation says the love of Christ overmasters us. And all of a sudden, I felt compassion for this guy. You know? It was in an instant, I just felt different. It was like he came up there, and I started talking to him. He had the pirate game on, you know, and he had something critical to say about them, and I understand that. Maybe if everybody quits talking negative about them, they'll start winning. Amen. I've had a losing season for 25 years, you know. My kid was an infant when they last won and all this kind of stuff, you know. Anyway, that's beside the point. But getting back to this guy came up and he had a terrible attitude. And I started talking to him and I saw him start to soften up a little bit, you know. Now, we didn't get a chance to witness to him, but I said, I said, "What's your name?" And he told me his name. I reached my hand and I said, "I'm glad to meet you. This is my son Joshua, you know." And then all of a sudden, that whole hostile environment just completely switched.
Praise
you know? And all of a sudden, he became friendly and nice. And within like 5 minutes, praise God. And we said, "We'll be back next week. We look forward to seeing you," and all this kind of stuff, you know. And then all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere just shifted. And what the Lord showed me was this. He says, "No, son." He says, "What you don't realize is the hardship that he's dealing with at home. You don't know the pain that he's dealing with at home." All I saw was the outward attitude. That's all I saw. But if the Lord gave you a little insight into what he was going through and the things that he was dealing with and the circumstances he was dealing with, no wonder he was miserable. And so when you know, when the Lord gives you insight as to, see, people don't just act ugly for any reason. There's a reason why they're acting bad. There's a reason why. Joyce Meyer said, "Hurt people hurt other people."
Amen.
He was hurt. Something happened. Now he's lashing out on everybody else. Okay? But the love of God is greater than that stuff.
Amen.
Greater than the flesh. Greater than hate. Okay? Are you with me now?
Amen.
And I walked out of that place. When I first walked in, I didn't feel so good after I encountered that. But when we allowed, and see, here's the thing, church, that we have to choose to allow the love of God to work in us. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. I'll say that again. Walking in love is not a feeling. It's a choice. You may not feel like walking in love towards people. But let me tell you something. When you choose to walk in love towards people, the Bible says you keep yourself in the wicked one cannot touch you.
Amen.
Is it possible to stay in the love of God? Sure. Sure. The Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, keeping, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God." Hallelujah. And that goes back to that other point. When you hang out with people that are ticked off and people that are upset, then there's a tendency that that spirit will jump off on you. That attitude will rub off on you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're ugly. Yeah. You know? And it's contagious. It really is. And people don't even know it. When I used to work in the secular world, I saw that. I worked with some of the most ungodly people you can imagine. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, Jesus came for the ungodly. They qualified. But, you know, I was thankful that the Lord allowed me for several years to be in that position, because it's in those hard places. It's in those places that that initially you despise being there. It's like, "Oh, just get me out of this thing." But you can learn some valuable lessons when you're in a hard-pressed place in life and you're dealing with difficult people that don't like you, that treat you ugly. And it's in those places that you begin to develop character and patience and love and forgiveness. And all of a sudden you feel yourself beginning to grow. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Now, it's funny and interesting at the same time, but the guys in the Bible that we recognize are people that had obstacles that overcame them. That's how we know about them. We know about Moses because of what he overcame with Pharaoh's army. Right? We know about David only because of Goliath. These were obstacles that the devil put in their way, but they chose to go God's way and they overcame them. That's why we recognize them. There's certain names in the Bible, you just know them, their name, but they didn't, as far as we know, they didn't do anything. You know what I mean? But we know these people as they are because of what they overcame. And see, when we walk in the love of God, the devil can throw his best shot at us, right? He can throw his best shot at us, amen? I remember way back, I had some situations happen where someone did me wrong. Okay? Well, not too much recently, I'd say in the last year, the Lord dealt with my heart about sending them a birthday gift. So I did it. Amen? And you know what? My flesh didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do it. But my spirit said, "Just do it." Okay? Now, I'm not looking for a response. I'm looking for more of a check in my spirit to make sure that I'm on the right track, that I'm walking in the love of God. And I'm sure all of you here, you've had some things happen to you, some bad things happen to you, you were misunderstood, whatever, you know, all of us have. But I can tell you some people today, I'm not going to list them by name, I can tell you some people today, even minister friends of mine, that are in the spiritual junk heap and ditch and out of the ministry because of bitterness, because of unforgiveness. Bad things happen. People said things about them. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't deal with it. And some of them even got off doctrinally, got off and started preaching another doctrine completely than what they were trained in. Because offense has a way, you know, when you think of offended, off-ended, you know, something that's going to tip over. If the devil can get us in a spirit of offense towards people, whoever they may be, Christian, non-Christian, then he has us in a position where he can control us. I don't know about you, but I don't like the devil controlling me. Amen? I don't like the devil controlling me for anything. Praise God. Amen. It just pays to obey God. It pays to walk in love. It pays to release forgiveness, even if they were wrong. Even if they were wrong. Stephen did that. That's the worst scenario you can think of. All of our problems are pale in comparison to what Stephen went through. But you know what? He's not in that position now. I'm sure him and Paul are best friends. Amen. And John got his head back.
Amen.
Amen. John the Baptist isn't walking around headless in heaven. I'll tell you that right now. Everybody starts freaking out and running, you know. It's like that movie I watched when I was a teenager, you know. When, does that Chili Billy or whatever came out, you know. And, y'all remember that? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Night of the Living Dead. We'd stay up at midnight and watch that stuff, you know. I wonder why we had a spirit of fear on us, you know, as little kids. We were okay before that. Started watching those flicks, and I mean, I'm just as sure there's something under that bed right now when I was a kid, you know. Well, let's close. We talked about this third thing, you know, about barriers. Number one, be willing to go beyond your comfort zone. Number two, follow wise people. Number three, stay in the love of God. Number four, and I'll close with this here today. And this is so important here. Praise God. So important. Is make God your best friend. Make God your best friend. Go to James chapter 2, verse 23. James 2 and verse 23. Familiar scripture says, the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And notice this, he was called the friend of God. Well, I think it was Israel Houghton wrote a song, Friend of God. You know, we're familiar with that, you know. Well, that's where he got that scripture from. Abraham became the friends of God. Well, Abraham was not a child of God like you and I are. He was a servant of God. And Jesus said, you are my friends, talking to the New Testament church. You're the friends of God. We had some conversation in our house this past week, and we started talking back and forth, and it was one of those conversations where God just jumped in the middle of that conversation. Josh kind of initiated it, and we started talking. And it's important that we understand, you know, fellowship's important, right, with each other. It's important. It's really important. It's godly. It's biblical. But there is a problem with fellowship when we're trying to make a person do what only God can do. It's so important for us to realize that. Because I see it, I've watched this, and I've observed this and noticed this, that there are people that they have to be around other people. They're addicted to it. They've got to be around other people. And that's okay. But it cannot take the place of your friendship with God. Matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say this. Even in a marriage situation, I'm good friends with Lynn. I married my best friend. Okay? Praise God for that. But, you know, she's human. I'm human. We can miss it. We're human. You know? Isn't that the truth, guys? Okay. You that are married, you know what I'm talking about. There are times that you let each other down. Okay? And there are times that we have expectations for one another that we don't fulfill. That's just human nature. All right? However, we have a Heavenly Father that so longs to have a relationship with us. You know, and that really blessed me what you all shared about getting up in the morning, spending time with the Lord, because, you know, that's your vertical relationship will affect your horizontal relationship with each other. Okay? But there's a whole lot of people that are missing out on the opportunity to have real true intimacy and fellowship. And I think that's one of the things that I miss hearing about more, because I remember when I was first saved back in the 70s, you know, there was such an intimacy with God back in those days, you know. And I mean, there was just God was so real to me when I first got saved. It was like He was more real than the air that's outside. I mean, everywhere I went, it was like I couldn't explain it. It was just He just seemed so real to me. Sometimes I just break down and just start weeping and crying when I was by myself, you know, and just the reality of how God is real and how He wants to have fellowship with me. And so I started developing a friendship with God when I was first born again as a teenager. You know what I mean? And everything else, I didn't have to have friends. I didn't have to, because I had God.
That's good.
Friends are good. Okay? Better let God do it anyway.
Right.
You know, because otherwise you're going to have an Ishmael. You know. But what brought Lynn and I together originally was she was so in love with Jesus. She was so in love with God before I ever even knew her, before I ever saw her face. She had already responded to the call of God in her life. I did the same thing separately before we ever even knew each other. Okay? And I, to be honest with you, I mean, I tried the dating scene there for a while, you know, because I had a natural desire to get married. And I'm telling you what, it just was, this is all before the Lord began to deal with me. It was one frustration after another frustration. Now, these weren't heathen women or anything like that. These are church girls, okay? But I just had, God had put a desire in my heart to get married to a Christian girl, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I thought, well, I better start looking. You know. Well, there's two or three relationships that, you know, they just didn't go very far. Let's just put it that way. Okay? And in the midst of all that going on, I'm talking 18, 19 years old, the Lord began to talk to me. He says, now, Keith, I put that desire in your heart to have a godly mate. He says, but let me do it. And He says, within my heart. Now, it wasn't an audible thing. It was just in my heart. He talked to me. It's a friendship with God. You know what I'm saying? Where He talks to you like that. And the Lord said, let me become your best friend right now and watch me bring it to pass. And so for a solid year, I would come home from work and I would just spend time in my bedroom behind the kitchen. You know, when my brother was born, they took my bedroom from upstairs behind the kitchen next to the refrigerator. I mean, for a teenager, that's a great place to be. So, I'm telling you, I spent almost all my waking time just, you know, talking to the Lord, listening to teaching tapes at that time that was just so new in the cassette tapes coming out and teaching. I was like, wow, this is so awesome. So, for a solid year, I just began to do that and serve and love God and just go to church and pray and just do whatever. I was just enjoying myself. I'm telling you, I'd be on the job, you know, and I'd be out there with, I was working with a landscaping company at that time. And the Lord was talking to me the whole time I'm working with the yards and stuff like that. And it was a whole year later that God brought our past together. Okay. But here's the thing. I wasn't looking for a girl to get fulfilled. I was already fulfilled. I was already fulfilled. She was already fulfilled. She was fulfilled in her relationship with God. I was fulfilled in my relationship with God. Now the Lord could bring us together. For years, we're going up and we're miles apart. But all of a sudden, in the process of time, He crossed our paths. Okay? He crossed our paths. And I was already complete. I was already happy. I was already joyful. It just made it better. You know what I'm saying? But see, a lot of times what I'm saying is a lot of people, they feel like there's this missing piece in their life. Until they find that relationship, then they're not going to have peace. They're not going to have joy. No, you get peace, joy now with your walk with Christ. That's probably why some people never meet, or it takes years for them to meet the right person, because why should we make some person our idol? That's an interesting thought, huh? You can actually make your spouse your idol. That's a bad decision. No, she doesn't bow down when I walk in the room. That'd be nice once in a while, but you know. You know what I'm talking about. That Bible says in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians, says we are complete in Him. Oh, if I could just get that position, then I know I'd be happy. Well, you may get it, but you may not like what you get after you got it. Okay? There's things that we think are going to make us happy, and we get it, and we're like, is that all there is? If I just get this, and I just get... No, contentment. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. When we get content in Christ and content in God, then it's... blessings to start chasing us down. They start chasing us down. Things start happening in your life because why? The Lord's on the top of your list. He's your first love. Amen? I love my wife with all my heart, but I don't love her more than God. And I know it's the opposite way as well. And that's the only way that we'll keep our heads on straight when in the process of things, because if she's loving God with all of her heart, I'm loving God with all my heart, then the anointing is going to be there for us to flow together. It's going to be easier for us to flow together. Instead of just a traditional, let's just do this, you know, and we're not putting God, you know, it's just principles. But this fourth thing here, and I want to just stay on this, make God your best friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. Just let that sink in for a minute. Abraham was called the what? The friend of God. Turn to this last scripture in Proverbs 18, verse 24. I love this scripture. It says, there is a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. In other words, you sow friendship, you reap friendship. Well, Pastor, no one's friendly to me. Well, how have we treated other people? You know, we sow kindness, we reap kindness. We sow friendship, we reap friendship. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he says right here, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh. There is a friend. His name is Jesus. And he sticks closer to you. Matter of fact, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he is with you all the time. All the time. I love spending time with my family. I love spending time with my wife. I enjoy it. We enjoy it. But you know what? Sometimes we're not with each other. But God is. God is. Amen? Listen, if you want your marriage relationship, I'm speaking to the married couples right now and those that want to be married. If you want your married relationship to go to be heaven on earth, let God be your best friend. Okay? Get close to Him. Get intimate with God. Hallelujah. We're not just talking about a formula, a principle. We're talking about a person. Amen? Formalism, principles can only take you so far. But it's that heartfelt relationship with Almighty God. Praise God. It's wonderful to spend time with a God that loves you unconditionally. Now, stop and think about this for a minute here, that from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about two men, Adam and Jesus, correct? And basically, Adam, the first Adam is called the first Adam. Jesus is called the last Adam or the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15, you know? And these two men impacted the whole globe. They impacted the whole human race. What Adam did contaminated the whole human race. We all came out of Adam. But what Jesus did impacted the whole human race. Okay? And it's all about bringing restoration back what we lost in the fall. See, Adam would walk with God in the cool of the day in fellowship with Him. It was a normal thing for him to commune with God, to have fellowship with God. But as soon as Adam sinned, he ran from the presence of God. As soon as he heard God's voice, he ran. Now, before that, he didn't run. He ran to God. He fellowshiped with God. But when he broke that relationship and he disobeyed God and he sinned, you know, his spiritual death and darkness came in. But Jesus came to restore that to the end that you and I would be restored in our relationship with God upon this earth. And I'm not just talking about a relationship, but fellowship too, where you have a conversation going. You're always communing back and forth, back and forth. Amen. I'm telling you, God will talk to you. He'll talk to you that you're when you're walking down the street. God will talk to you when you're sitting in your fishing boat. Amen. God will talk to you when you're at work. God will talk to you when you're in your car driving home. He always wants to fellowship and He always wants to talk. This could be one of the most important things I've ever shared in my life, is our union and our connection with Him. See, my idea of a healthy church is not, numbers are cool, that's good. Amen. There is a book of numbers. Amen. God's not against numbers too much. He's got to write a book, numbers, right? But let's not just have numbers, but let's have people that are quality people that have a connection with God, people that are connected with Him, that are in union with Him. And boy, when you show up and you show up in someone's life, you're bringing something with you. Whew. Hallelujah. There's some folks that I know, friends of ours through the years that, boy, you know when you get in their presence, you're gonna go walk away with something, some substance. You know what I mean? You're going to walk away with something tangible. I don't care if it's a phone conversation. Why? It's all because of their link with God. And so they're linked with, they got their hand on God, now their hand's on other people. And so there's that divine flow to come through, like electricity. And as soon as you let go, the current stops. Okay? But when you hang on to God and you're walking with Him, you know, this stuff that makes us scaredy cats and afraid and make us cry will no longer have any effect upon us. I always say, don't let the devil make you cry. Now, if God makes you cry, it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. But don't come in here and say, oh, the devil's beat my brains out all week long. No. You have a fellowship with God. You have a connection with God. Now, you might feel like crying. Your flesh might feel like boo-hooing. Amen? Your flesh will want to have big-time pity parties. I'm telling you that right now. No one knows what I've been through. Poor old me. Now, we're not saying that, but our attitudes reflect that sometimes. And I'll be the first to admit it. Okay? All right? I've been there and done that. And it's not any fun. But when you stay connected with the Father, and you stay connected with Him in union and fellowship with Him, like this morning, before I even got out of bed this morning, early this morning, I'm laying there and I'm talking to the Lord under my breath. I'm talking to the Father. He's talking back to me. I didn't have to go, God, are you awake? God's alarm clock goes off. Scares half the nation. No, He doesn't sleep or slumber. He never does. Amen? Because He's just waiting there to speak to you anytime you desire. Anytime. The Scripture tells us that Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And he said, John said, I write these things unto you that your joy may be complete or full. He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And he says, because of that, your joy is complete. Praise God. You see, absence of fellowship with the Father equals no joy. No joy. If your joy has gone out the back window and you can't even see it, it's so far back, okay? Could it be, and I submit this to you, it's an absence of fellowship with the Father. But when we fellowship with Him and fellowship with Jesus and we're in union with Him, folks, it can only get better. How many of you know that? Your relationship can get better. Just like your human relationships. How many of you know your marriage relationships can get better? Maybe you thought you reached a plateau. Listen, it can get better. It all comes with how we think up here, man. It can get better. Amen? Sounds like a marriage seminar today, but it's not. Okay. Hallelujah. Say, God desires.
To talk with me
all the time. That's that simple. Okay? He wants to talk with you. He wants to fellowship. You say, well, how do I know when He's talking to me? He'll talk to you. If you open up your heart, believe me, if you're a believer, how many believers in here? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You hear His voice. Amen? Now, I don't care I don't care if you had 10 bad preachers in your life, okay, that broke all the Ten Commandments, and you had people in your life that you couldn't trust, and, you know, I mean, that's the flesh, that's people, that's not God. God's still real, okay? So no matter how bad your experience has been in the past, I don't care, don't base your belief system now. Okay? Don't base your belief system based on what someone else did to let you down. Because you know what? If you do that, you're allowing them to control your future. Well, there was this person in my life and I trusted them and man, they let me down. You know? Don't let that person let you down. In other words, don't let them be a contributor to your downfall for your future. Why should you let that person control your future? Amen. Are you with me now?
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
The devil will see to it that he'll try to use people in your life, Christian people in your life, to let you down from time to time. But don't let them stand between you and your relationship with God. Yeah, they met well. They made some mistakes. I forgive them. Move on, come on over here, and keep walking with the Father. Instead of allowing that person to build an offense inside your life and where you become offended, there's a bunch of hypocrites in that church. Well, guess what? When they showed up, it just increased. You know, church is definitely not perfect people, okay? But we have a perfect Savior. We have a perfect Redeemer. And you know, your heart can be perfect towards God. Now, in the flesh, none of us are perfect. Are you with me? Can you handle this? None of us are perfect. Not one of us. But we have a perfect Savior. We do. We said this of last week or whatever it was, you know, that, you know, when you spend time with someone, more time than usual, then their faults and failures and so forth are going to be exposed to you. That's just the way it is. Are you with me? When you first meet someone and you see them, and they look like angels. Those are not wings sprouting on the back. That's just shoulder blades, okay? And let's just face the fact. If you spent time with me and Lynn, you would see some faults and failures. That's not a bad confession. Okay? It's the truth. Right, guys? I mean, it's the truth. We are not perfect. Boy, I just wish I could be best friends with Pastor Keith. No, you may not like me after you may not like me after a day. Because I may not fulfill your expectations. You may have certain expectations of me that I don't fulfill, and all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? But see, that's where love comes in, says love bears one another's burden. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. Okay? And the same works with our relationship with the people. Okay? Should I say further? No, I'm just kidding. You know? We have to see each other through the eyes of love. We have to see each other through the eyes of grace. You know? My children are far from perfect. They've made their share of mistakes, you know, but that never has stopped me from loving them. There's times they've blown it, and like all of us have, you know what I mean? There's times that they had attitudes when they shouldn't have, and vice versa, you know, but that's kids. That's kids, you know. But it would never stop me from continuing my love towards them and reaching out to them and believing in them. And you know, how much more is God that way? You might have felt that you've messed up so far in your life, you know, that how could God continue to want to fellowship with me and walk with me when all I see is my faults and my failures? That's just the way God is. Amen? He loves you so much. No matter how you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God still wants to continue to fellowship with you, because that's the thing that will change your destiny. Okay? Amen? They had shared this morning about God's unconditional love, receiving that unconditional love and just beginning to walk. Amen? So let's pray. Amen? Glory be to the Father. Glory be to the Father. Father, we come before you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, thank you. Just allow the Lord right now, the Lord of the church, the head of the church, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, to talk to you right now. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. I speak restoration right now over the people here right now. Spirit of restoration. Namely, their walk with Christ, their walk with God right now. There's some people that, and the Lord has not shown me who they are, but there's a few people that are, I believe, in this room right now that you've had some bad experiences from. So this is something that happened years and years ago, years ago. And you were so tender and so young. But the Lord is removing the pain. He's removing the sting. He's removing the hurt, so that it will no longer be a barrier to you to walk in the fullness of your walk with Christ. Praise God. So receive your healing right now. The emotional healing is being released right now in Jesus' name. Mina Kostia. Solama Krista Dekale Miso Tokra Manakesa. Sombro Kotala Kista Lakayana. Praise God, praise God. Yes, Jesus. 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 Kista, Kista, Marokote. Yunamokia, Yunamokia, Yunamenehia Sasaya. Lomo Momokosa Kialakasa. Dijimobobokosa. Sina Nikista Sina. And in my spirit, I see, it wasn't a spiritual vision or anything, but in my heart, I see this like a blanket of the blood of Jesus just over this congregation. Like a, almost like a big blanket, but it's red, like a blood coming down upon every one of you right now, just over your, from your head all the way down to your feet. I see it right now. The blood of Jesus washing you, cleansing you from hurt, from disappointment, from, if I mean anything, from your past. Father, thank you right now for a blanket of the love of God. Right now, the Bokusanifi and Nasadoa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we receive that, Father, right now. As you walk forward this week, you know, as we get ready to leave here, praise God, you're going to notice one thing primarily is that you're going to be talking to God a lot more than you've been. And we're not criticizing where you've been and where the relationship you have had with God, but I'm telling you, you're coming up in a way that you've never come up before, where your confidence is going to be affected. And could it be sometimes that why there's been delays, why it seems so hard sometimes to get receiving answers to prayer, you know? Could it be that our relationship with God just needs to be where it should be, and then the rest will take care of itself? The rest will take care of itself. You got something, sweetheart? Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Stay up here.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, there'll become more and more and more times of roshe prekasato, and you won't brokaste, brokaste, brobakreshta, broko. It will come and break ishtando lovota redesta. Holy is mangre deshte vrete, and war, ma, no more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For as my glory has descended upon you this day, you'll rise up like new creations that I've called you to be. Oh, and you'll see that you've no longer live in the past, but you'll walk in the future, and that does last. Up ahead is great things for you. Oh, for you will know that I've called you. You'll know that you're my child. You'll know that everything from heaven belongs to you. So rise up. And forget the past, yes, and grab a hold of that which will last. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
We receive it, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Sabroveke. Oh, Lord, I just ask that you help me to communicate that. I don't know if it was in the night of prayer or with your eyes closed, we were sitting in the congregation, and when you mentioned the blood falling on us, the Lord reminded me. I don't, like I said, some of the spiritual things, it's hard to communicate. But I started reaching up above me, and I was pulling things to myself. And that's what the Lord's doing even in this day, is you're grabbing up to heaven and you'll pull what you need to yourself.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. My, whatever that is, and just grab a hold of whatever that is, because heaven's reaching out to you even this day. Reach up. And it was such an awesome thing. I pulled those things down, and it just came right to me. It was awesome. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God. We reach up by faith, and we pull down those things that you've already ordained, receive, that we have, Father, receive, God, that we walk receive, in. We pull them up down by faith, receive, Father. We receive from an open heaven, Father, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Sabro koto kosakara makaka. You know, I just think it's so important to let the Holy Ghost talk to us. Amen? And, you know, if that means at 12:15 he does it, that's fine. Amen? Let the Holy Ghost talk to us. Praise God. All right? Thank you, Lord. That open heaven that the Lord showed us, there's an open heaven over us. It stays open. It stays open. Because we were in prayer two Fridays ago, and the Lord said, there's an open heaven over your church, over the people in your church. The church is the people. Where things took long, they're going to be speeded up just like that. Quick answers. And right now, the Lord, as Lynn was ministering, the Spirit of the Lord showed me, said that you keep that open window open because of your walk with Christ, your fellowship with Him. Keeps that window open so that things just come quicker and faster.
Amen.
That's the key right there.
Amen.
That's the key right there. So there's an open heaven over you today.